Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
G'day, and welcome to episode 108 of Shutters Inc. This is Iron Guts Williams, and with me on the line, from Melbourne via Skype, Shelton Fingers Muller.
G'day, there you go.
Is that silly enough for you?
Well, I think we've at least appeased one of our listeners.
Yeah.
How you going, Iron? How you going, Iron Guts? You all right?
I'm good, mate. And yourself?
Yeah, ripper, mate. No worries.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, I have a lot to do this week, actually. A, record this podcast with you.
Yep.
But after this, I've got to, I'm going to get stuck into the final bits of recording for my new website. I've got to get the audio down.
Yep.
Because that website is up and running, and it will be up and running very, very soon. And I'll let you all in on the website address.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.5minutephotographer, that's words, not numbers, mm-hmm. 5minutephotographer.com. And on that particular website, which we hope you all become members to, will have instructional videos or tutorial sort of slideshows. Plus, there'll be a forum that you can join and articles to read. It'll be sort of like a complete photographic tutorial website that we're running. So that's 5minutephotographer.com. At the moment, I'm basically down to recording the final few of the first, handful of videos that will go up. And then, of course, on a very regular basis, new videos will be uploaded. So, and of course, new articles, and there will always be the forum there as well. Now, there are a lot of forums, and we understand that you can join a lot of forums. The unique thing about this one will be that it'll be a unique community, and that is the one that's, of course, subscribes to 5-Minute Photographer. We've established two prices, a 6-month subscription at $29.95 Australian or a full year at $49.95 Australian. So if you're an American customer, that's going to be, I don't know, 47 cents or something. But it's not going to be particularly expensive. And trust me, for what you learn, it'll be well worth it. We promise that you'll be able to learn more in 5 minutes there than you would, reading a day's worth of articles because of the way that it's put together. So we hope that you have a look. And of course, we hope even more that you want to become a member of 5minutephotographer.com and at least have a look at how we've gone. Now, as I say, it's just kicking off. There'll be a handful of videos there for you to watch and learn from, but there'll be new ones each week. Or regularly, I'm hoping each week, but I haven't actually put that down on the website as regularly as possible. And of course, because of the forum, you have the opportunity to say, look, this is what I really want to learn, Shelton. Can you put together a tutorial about this? Now, it might be off-camera flash, it might be indoor portraiture, it might be how to do a window light portrait, it might be a whole bunch of things, how to pose. We've got all sorts of videos being prepared at the moment on many different subjects, but if there's one there that you particularly want and it gets a fair response from other people who are on the site, then by all means I will put that thing together and we'll get it up so you can learn a little bit more about it. So 5minutephotographer.com is the website. And apart from that, I've got a wedding to photograph tomorrow, which my friend from my good Shutters Inc. friend Richard Annable might actually be coming on. Well, my wife keeps saying to me, you've got such a busy schedule over the next few days. Can you get someone to help you out on the wedding? And I thought, yes, I keep forgetting that all these people want to come on weddings with me. So Richard's been asking me, and I'll just email Richard, and he says, look, he'd love to. Just whether it fits in with his schedule in the morning. But hopefully Richard will be able to come. And by this time, of course, you'll know, Richard, whether you've come or not, because mm-hmm. you'll have been listening to this podcast. Apart from that, tomorrow is Friday. I have a wedding. Then Saturday, I have a wedding with a deaf couple. So it's handy because I speak sign language.
Right.
Australian Sign Language.
Okay.
So, I'm deadly serious.
That wasn't a joke? Oh, okay.
No, deadly serious. Well, right. There are different kinds of sign language. There's American Sign Language, there's English Sign Language, there's Australian Sign Language.
Right.
Auslan, AUSLAN is what it's known as.
Oh, okay.
Just through relationships I've had growing up with friends and that kind of, I've picked up the language.
Wow.
So this would be about the third wedding I've done for deaf people. So that's on Saturday. Now, here's the interesting thing. Straight after that, of course, I have to finish the wedding. I have to swing by home, pick up my wife, then off to Avalon Airport to catch a plane to Adelaide. Mm-hmm. On Saturday night, I have to arrive in Adelaide, pick up a four-wheel drive at the airport, stay overnight at the Holiday Inn in Adelaide, and then in the morning, I'm leading my group off to Kangaroo Island. And I'll be on Kangaroo Island all next week. Now, folks, if you want to know what Kangaroo Island is like, there's a movie out at the moment starring that kid from Harry Potter. What's his name?
Daniel Radcliffe?
That's the one, Daniel Radcliffe. Right. It's all filmed on Kangaroo Island. So if you want to know where I am and what I've been photographing, Kangaroo Island, it's all filmed on location on Kangaroo Island. It's called December Boys.
Right.
And it's a good little flick, actually. It's a sort of a coming-of-age flick about these four orphan boys who get to holiday on this unique island and the people they meet and the adventures, etc., etc., and how they are all rivaling for this couple's love because they want to be adopted. But it's very, very, very good little film. And Daniel Radcliffe actually does, considering he's an English kid, he does a great Australian accent. He loses it momentarily every now and again. But an Australian accent is not an easy thing to imitate.
No.
Just ask Meryl Streep, you know. A dingo took my baby.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, but he does an excellent job.
Kath and I have just finished watching Eureka, which was given to me by someone who downloaded it, which is a show from America that was released in 2006. Uh-huh. And they have an American guy there who's supposedly an Australian bushy, and you just go, nah, that's really not credible.
I'm always reminded of in the early episodes of MASH, they had the Australian, what was he, an anaesthetist or something?
Oh, really?
And he talked more like Michael Caine.
Hello, oh, really?
I'm an Australian, you know what I mean? You know? And please, you know, the Australian accent is not like that at all. But getting back on track, it's called December Boys, and it's filmed on Kangaroo Island. Now, the rock formations that you see in this movie are called the Remarkables, and they are, you know, basically the tourist attraction or one of the main tourist attractions of Kangaroo Island, you know, at a sort of geological level, I suppose. So I'll be spending a couple of evenings and mornings on those rocks. So if you're looking at those while you watch the movie, know that we've only recently been there. They feature a fair bit in the film, so you can't miss them. The cove where a lot takes place will be there. And there's seals to photograph on the island. There's a very large area of open sand dunes. It's quite an interesting place, Kangaroo Island, so I'm really going to enjoy it.
I did put a link on the show notes last week to a website all about Kangaroo Island, too.
Yeah. But of course, nothing like watching a movie and saying, is that what it looks like? I watched the movie just so I could reacquaint myself with Kangaroo Island because it's been 3 or 4 years since I've been there. And thoroughly enjoyed the film, mind you.
And cinematically, was it well shot?
Actually, yeah, very nicely shot.
Right.
Yeah, very nicely shot. You know, nothing that blew my wig, but it had its, you know, it wasn't badly shot. It was nicely directed, and the cinematography was very good. So, yeah, you'll enjoy the film, but at least you'll know where we've been.
Excellent.
And then, of course, I come back to more work and, of course, continuing on 5minutephotographer.com. However, when we come back, I understand that you have news as well, Bruce.
I have lots. But one thing I wanted to comment on.
Being a politician now, folks. Yeah. Now, before I answer that, let me say this.
Yes. Let me spin it my way.
Yeah.
I wanted to go back to what you were talking about the sign language stuff, because...
Yes.
When I was in the States, June 06, mm-hmm. And I went and saw Bruce Springsteen at the Greek Theatre.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing the Seeger Sessions tour at the time.
The boss.
I happened to notice that down on the left-hand side at the front of the audience, there was a group of deaf people, mm-hmm. and there was a woman standing in front of them doing sign language of the lyrics.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that happens often.
I'd never seen that.
No, I don't understand it in some, but I'm not deaf. But, you know, I mean, if they stand close enough to the speakers, they feel the beat.
Yeah.
You know, I remember playing at a band for a friend of mine who was deaf. I photographed his wedding and then played in the band that night. And he was the groom. And he danced himself ridiculous all night at his own wedding. We just turned it up, you know. Cop this. We turned it up to 11, you know what I mean? And he was dancing, you know. Oh, they, and good friend of mine, Walter, who's from Zimbabwe. And right. He's deaf. I photographed his wedding a little while back, but at his wedding, loves to dance. Yeah, and it's just a matter of turning it up and putting the speakers, putting the bass on the floor, man. Yep. They just love to dance. But they do. They go and see live plays and Broadway shows, just like we do. Wow. And signers, yeah, because they actually derive more from the visual than we do.
Right.
They'll watch a play and derive a lot more from the nuances of the actors than sure. the hearing people will. We rely on all our senses. They're really focusing on one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so they can enjoy it very, very much at that level. So, yeah. And so Saturday I'll be, you know, holding the camera with one hand and trying to sign with the other.
As previously hinted, yes, we do have some news. This will be the last episode of Shutters Inc. for about 7 weeks.
You told me 6 off air. You're just playing games now.
Well, I did say 6 because, you know, there's obviously going to be a week. Yeah, because there's going to be a week after I get back, right?
So, fair enough.
So what's happening is we're recording this on Thursday morning, and by the time you get to hear this, which will be Monday here in Australia, I will be starting at least 2 weeks of freelance work at one of the radio stations here in Sydney, and there's a high probability that that will stretch to 3 weeks, and that will take me right up to the weekend in which I fly out of Sydney to LA, and I'm going to be in the States for another 3 weeks. So that basically means that, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm not going to be able to do any podcasting, which means, you know, all 3 podcasts are going to be on hold. And then the week that, you know, I get back, hopefully Shelton and I will get to record. And then, you know, like I said, it'll be a week after that before it's actually published. So, yeah, so there's going to be a little bit of a hiatus.
But, of course, the opportunity for them, Bruce, is...
Well, you can go back and listen to some old episodes.
Yeah. It's funny how I'm getting emails to sort of from listeners saying, oh, what about this, 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 and this? And I think, no, we actually covered that.
Back you know, in the early days.
Back in whoop-whoop days. So, you know, it is a good... Bruce is absolutely spot on. You know, there is nothing better than reminder. I have to read things over and over again to sometimes understand them, listen to them over and over again to really get them. And, of course, that's one of the concepts with the 5-Minute Photographer. You know, you've got this 5-minute tutorial that you can watch, and then you just, oh, hang on, didn't get that, watch it again until, you know, and because it's visual and it's audio, you get the lesson. And it's the same with this podcast. You know, go back through the list on audiotou.com and think, now hang on, I really don't remember that, or I really don't understand that, and listen to it. It's just because Bruce is the audio guy, guys, I can't really do anything without him. You know, we are a symbiotic relationship. He and I, but we will be back.
Please
don't go sleeping with other podcasts. So while you know, don't leave us, because we do love you and we know you love us, and we will be back. And I know that you'll be expecting one hell of a show when we get back.
Oh, absolutely.
So because I'll have had 6 weeks to come up with something decent. Mm-hmm. And of course, hey, we're always on email, you know, so we can keep in touch that way.
And Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
I've finally succumbed and joined up with Facebook. I didn't understand what all the buzz was about, and a couple of people said to me, yeah, you really should be on there so you can, you know, spread the word about what you do and yada, yada, yada. So I'm now on Facebook, and you probably saw a blog post through the week, so it's got a link to my profile on Facebook. So if anyone wants to find me on Facebook and send through a friend request, that'd be great.
Not a fan of Facebook. I think it's a silly program.
Really?
I think it's a bit, I don't know, a bit silly. It just doesn't seem, it just look, I don't know, it doesn't function easily to me.
I
had a bit of a look and just, not interested.
I don't know.
I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying don't go to your site. I'm just, for me, it doesn't work.
Yeah, right.
I just can't, you know, I don't know. It seems all very complicated and messy, the whole page design.
You see, I signed up with LinkedIn about 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've probably got half a dozen contacts there, and out of those half a dozen, 4 are people that I, you know, haven't spoken to in over 12 months anyway. So it's a bit of a pointless thing for me, whereas I find Facebook far more immediate and, I don't know, it just seems to make more sense. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, boy, oh boy, with all this communication going on, you know. but it is a great way to make friends. It really is, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, be in touch with people and network and all that kind of thing. But I just found the whole layout and design of it rather, I don't know, messy and difficult. But look, go. You join up with Bruce on Facebook. Just don't let his wife know.
Shelton's on there, but you won't see him there very often.
No, you won't. I actually had to join because someone said, I've got some pictures you've got to see. Come and join Facebook.
Right.
And it was somebody from my Rockhampton workshop.
Uh-huh.
And so I signed all up. La, la, okay, now can I have a look at your pictures? And there were about, you know, six pictures of snapshots that, you know, for Pete's sake. But you won't see me there all that often. No.
Well, actually, Kath was there before me. She signed up before I did. So, so she was all completely across how it worked and whatnot before I signed up, so.
Has she been linking with any good-looking guys?
I don't know.
I mean, you know, I can think of one she better link up with, you know, and that's you, my friend, you know, otherwise she'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we should probably get on with this podcast.
Yeah, we better. Now, I've got one or two emails and then we can get stuck into the last part of our wedding series.
Sure.
And of course, this one's from Mark Hafner again.
Him again.
From
did it take him another hour to write this one?
No, this isn't the Mark. This isn't the Mark you're thinking of.
Oh, this is a different Mark. Okay.
This isn't the Mark. Who's our Perth fellow?
I thought that was Mark, but maybe I'm confusing the names because I didn't actually get that email. I only heard it when you read it last week.
So. Right. Right. Okay.
So my apologies to the person from Perth who offered me a coffee and whose name may not be Mark.
We'll find him. I'll find him during the course of this podcast.
Right,
my
mind
has gone completely blank.
Okay.
But let me just have a quick look at this email. Now, this is Mark from ENVPix. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that. ENVPix? ENVPix? It's a bit spurious. Shelton, great show. Of course, there's no credit to you at all, Bruce. You just go straight to me. You know? What is the name of the magazine you edit? Is it possible to get a subscription in the US? No. Sorry about that, mate. It is not possible to get a subscription in the US. The magazine that I do here is called Total Image. It is also known as Better Pictures if you go to Camera House stores. It's also known as Photo Plus now if you go to any of the Photo Plus outlets across Australia. I'm sorry you can't get it in the US, mate. The way that it works is that basically photo retailers buy it from us and give it to customers. So, unfortunately, I can't get you one, but I can certainly go across to the U.S. and get a major photo retail chain to take it on, and then you can get as many as you like. As usual, I'm a few sessions behind. I just listened to a podcast that's right around 100, the one where you talked about developing your personal style. If someone were to imitate you, would they be able to find something to imitate? One of the techniques I've been working on is using green screen backgrounds. I don't know, I think you got this one, Bruce, and it's a very interesting very interesting email. One of the techniques I've been working on is using green screen backgrounds. It's not as easy as it looks or as simple as it sounds. You have to spend almost as much time setting up perfectly even lighting for the background as you do lighting the subject, and at the same time achieve the just right balance between the two. I'm attaching a before and after sample that I enjoy. The next step in my technology development is to figure out how to do this in the Flickr group so I won't have to pester you with emails when I send you a picture. You pester me as much as you like, Mark. Thanks again for a great show. I hope you got this, Bruce, because I'd really love these two pictures to go up on audiotoyou.com.
I didn't get that one, so if you want to forward it through.
I'm going to forward it to you now, then. It's a really interesting idea because, I have seen it done, but it would be a great podcast subject.
Okay.
So, Mark, if you want to perhaps email me or whatever the details, or perhaps we could even do what we did once before and
with
get
Landon,
you on Skype
yeah,
and talk
get him
about
on,
it with
yeah.
Landon. Yeah. So that's just a thought, but it was a really, really good idea. I love what you've done with these two pictures, and I'd really love to know more about, you know, how you achieve them. So thanks very much for that. I really, really appreciate that. That's terrific. Now, what else was there? Si Yon Tam has sent me an email just with a few pictures saying, please help. Matt, I really don't know what you want me to help you with. There was no text in the email. So whether you don't like your pictures that you've sent or something like that, I don't know, my friend. I would be happy to help whatever I can. But if it was just a little spurious, mate, I don't exactly know what you want me to do, buddy. So maybe he's thinking it's so obvious, but no, I'm not a very smart man. I am not a smart man, but I do know what love is. But if you can tell me what exactly you want me to do for you, we can most certainly help you, mate. That's what we're here for. Well, this week, of course, we are looking at, I suppose you might say, the final stage of wedding photography, photographing a wedding. We've gone through, you know, the whole basically day. We're about to leave our location where we've been doing our post-ceremony photography and get stuck into the reception. Now, there's two ways you can approach this at a business or package level. I don't stick around for receptions very long. My commitment to the reception, according to the basic package that I charge, is to basically go there. We do a few, I'll photograph the room, try to photograph the room before anyone gets in. And that's a good photograph to take because they love to see it all set up, and a lot of time and a lot of thought and a lot of effort goes into colors, layout, you know, how the room looks. Because the moment people come in, everything has changed. Everything is ruined. People are sitting down, they've got jackets over chairs. There's a whole bunch of mess. Everything's messed up. So if you can get a photograph of the room, I try to get one from each corner of the room because it looks different from each corner. And I also try to get a photograph of the room with the cake in the foreground. It's like shooting across the cake and then, of course, basically into the room from there. I also try and get a photograph looking from the bride and groom's perspective, from where they're going to be sitting at the bridal table, from that perspective out onto the room as well. So you've got a few different photographs there to take. Now, it doesn't take long. Wide angle lens on a tripod, move around the room and just take some available light photographs. Do that and you'll have that covered. I also we'll try and get a few detail photographs, photographs of, you know, the glasses, photographs of the little name placements on the bridal table, things like that, just in case you are designing an album. Little details like that make a lot of difference, especially to the girls. You know, they love details like that. So take a few photographs like that. Now, depending on how long you're planning on staying for the reception, if you're not planning on staying for the reception, you'll need to do a photograph of the bride and the groom with the cake before the reception begins. Now, you might want to do this even if you are planning on staying for the evening, because the bride and groom, by the time they get to cutting the cake, will look a little bit different. They will have had their meal, maybe. She may have taken the veil off. He might have loosened off his tie. The setting may look a little bit less tidy. So try and at least do a before shot, like a fake cake cutting beforehand, just to get the photograph nice. You can photograph the real thing if it happens and you're there, but try and set one up very nicely. Now, the way that I do this is basically to I get my 85mm 1.8 out. I love that lens. I get back a nice distance so that I can have the cake and the bride and groom behind the cake. A lot of people find posing the bride and groom very difficult in this particular, but it's actually dead simple. Put the bride and groom on an angle behind the cake so you can see them, but the cake is still in front. You put the bride slightly closer to the cake than the groom. She will hold the knife with both hands. He will stand behind her, but on an angle and round, so that, you know, you can see him. He'll have one hand on her back, or, you know, just behind her or around her. I don't like seeing hands coming round waists. I usually like, if the hand is behind, hide it behind. If it comes round, then you've got these fingers and things making things look very untidy. So just have his hand placed on her back, I try to avoid, and I should have said this before in the previous podcast, I don't like seeing hands come round shoulders, hands come round waists. Very often I will, you know, get them to move it back. Sometimes it looks okay, sometimes it's needed, but as a rule, I don't like to see the hand coming around the waist or coming around the shoulder. It just looks a bit untidy. It's sort of this thing coming out of nowhere.
I was going to say, you know? Like Thing from the Addams Family.
Yeah, you know, that's right. You know the movie The Thing from the 50s?
Never saw it.
Oh, it's one of these old 50s horror films. Mm-hmm. Apparently, James Arness, who played Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke, played the part of The Thing. It was his first role. Yeah, anyway, that's another. That's a bit of.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, that's okay. Just thought I'd throw that in. King trivia. All right, so here we are photographing the bride and the groom. Now, often I'll use a bit of off-camera flash here as well. Rather than just sort of boom flash, you know, you're inside, maybe it's a reception venue, high ceiling, you can't bounce, or the color of the reception venue's walls or ceiling is not conducive to bounce photography, bounce flash. So often I'll use a little bit of off-camera flash. I'll set the flash up on another tripod just off to the side and light them at an angle. Or I'll use two flashes, one to sort of nicely light them from behind and one, of course, from the front. But if I've got the groom, he holds the knife with one, like, under her hands, his other hand is behind, there's your shot. You do basically just place the knife gently on the bottom tier, and don't get them to cut it yet because they'll cut it later, and away you go. Now, even if you are doing that shot for real later on, still set them up the same way. And you'll be battling with people, you know, wanting to take photographs as well. Just assume some authority nicely, but just sort of, you know, everyone just give me a chance to get this right. If I get it right for me, then I'll get it right for you, tell them. And then, of course, you take your shot and you get out and let everybody take theirs. Theirs will never be as good as yours anyway, so there's no real problem. You know, it just won't, let's face it. You've got the lens and the technique and the gear and the wah-wah-wah.
And the off-camera flash, yeah.
And the off-camera flash, yes. I must remind me to talk about off-camera flash before we leave today. I did something really, really interesting last night with that. It was really cool. And so there's that shot that you have to do. Then get the knife down. Put the knife down. A knife in a bride's hands is never a good thing anyway, right? But get her to put it down, and then just fill the champagne glasses with some champagne and get them to do a nice shot just holding their champagne glasses, maybe interacting, even kissing behind the cake. Just get a few variations. Also make sure that you get a shot of the cake. Nicely side lit with flash or window light or whatever you've got, but that cake has cost a lot of money, and of course the cake designer will want to perhaps even buy a photograph from you, but the bride and groom will definitely want a cake shot. So make sure you get the shot just of the cake by itself. So basically, if you've done that, the next thing to wait for, depending on whether you're staying for the reception or not, is the entry of the bride, the groom, and the bridal party. The bridal party usually will come in first with the children. If there's children like page boys, flower girls in the bridal party, they'll usually make a grand entrance. The doors will swing open. You've got to find out where they're going to enter. Before they enter, you get that information either from the bride and groom or the maitre d', whoever's looking after the event. You get that from them. And then you place yourself so that when the doors swing open, no one's going to be in your way. You get the shot, and in come the bridal party. And this may be one of those few occasions where I would say you have few options other than to really upgrade your ISO and use available light, or just bang away with straight flash. They're not works of art, but usually when the bridal party enter, if they're characters, they'll always have a bit of a dance, and the groomsmen will throw their, you know, will sort of point at people, you know, with a hey, you know, kind of, you know, they'll do all sorts of crazy things as they walk in. If the bridesmaids are characters, they'll dance and, you know, they'll have a bit of fun as they come on in. They're great shots, and often they really reveal the character of the bridal party, member by member. And sometimes the interesting thing is you'll have a really shy groomsman with a really out there bridesmaid come in together, and how they play that off can be quite, you know, or vice versa, really, you know, out there groomsman and a shy little bridesmaid, and he's dancing and pointing and laughing, and she's sort of like, you know, great shots. But the entry of the bridal party, and then finally the bride and groom, is the big thing. Now, everybody stands up usually when the bride and groom enter, so you may need to be careful of that. If you've been relying on people sitting down and you've been shooting across their heads, they're going to stand up when the bride and groom come in. So you've got to be aware of that. Get them out of your way or get out of their way and get the bride and groom. Make sure that you've got enough flash power. You've been banging away as the rest of the bridal party have come in. By this time, your flash may be starting to go a little, hello, I need some power here. So just make sure that you've spared a few seconds of recharge time so that when the bride and groom do actually come in, you've got plenty of power to bang away to as they come in. And again, you'll usually get, you know, real outpourings of personality as they enter. It's their big day. Everyone's clapping them. The band or the DJ is playing some, you know, entrance music, and in they come. So that's the shot. When they've sat down, everybody else has sat down, you quickly go over to the table, just interrupt them one last time, get a nice photograph of them together at the table with their champagne glasses, having a little bit of a close cuddle, you know, looking into the camera, so you've got the shot of them at the table. You then get a shot of the bridal table, try and get their attention. I usually will stay an extra 5 or 10 minutes and just roam the place with an 85mm, 1.8, maybe I'll uprate to ISO 800 or something like that, and just get some candid shots of members of the bridal party interacting at the table, certain members of the family as they sit at other tables interacting with one another. These are especially important shots if you're going to be leaving soon, but you need some images for your album or for an idea of the reception. So once I've done that, unless the bride and groom have asked me to stay and have paid me accordingly, once I've done that, I go over and I will, you know, kiss all the bridesmaids, shake all the hands of the groomsmen, and say, you know, a goodbye to the bride and the groom, and wish them a happy honeymoon, and tell them to contact me, of course, when they return from their honeymoon, and off I go. But if I'm staying for the evening, which I very rarely do, but sometimes the bride and groom want me to stay, and this will often be the case with cultural events, you know, perhaps a wedding that has a lot of cultural significance in terms of what goes on at the reception. A lot of cultures have, you know, special dances, special ceremonies that happen at the reception, and they want you to stay and they want you to photograph it. Now, if this is the case, you need to know, preferably before the wedding day, but at least on the evening, what and when it's going to happen. And this you find out either from the bride and groom, the best man, or the maitre d', or the MC. Your MC can often be your best friend, because he knows when the speeches are going to happen, he knows when these other events are going to happen. You alert him to the fact that you need to know 5 to 10 minutes before each of these things what it's going, that you know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, and so that you're Johnny on the spot ready when it does. So you make sure that he knows that where you're sitting and to come and tell you what's going to happen. But you should try and have an itinerary, a written itinerary of the event, even as he does. There's no point them paying you to stay for the reception and not providing you with a written itinerary of what is going to happen that evening that they want photographed. If they've given you an itinerary for the day, surely you should also have an itinerary for the evening. Now, the photography here is pretty straightforward. Often the reception venues get very dark, and you can save yourself with a little bit of off-camera flash. Often what I do is I simply hand-hold my flash arm's length out while I hold my camera with my other hand, and at least it's not flash on camera. You know, straight bang, no, you know, we hate that stuff here at Shutters, Inc. So I'll just hold my flash off-camera, and I'll just, you know, fire away so it's got a little bit of dimension to it, so that it's, you know, it looks a little bit better. Or if I've got time, I'll set it up somewhere and you know, I'll have proper off-camera flash going on. When these events happen, it really is quite simple. Just make sure that you're there and that you cover it. Get a photograph of each one of the speeches. Get a photograph of, you know, especially the best man as he goes through all the dirt on the groom, and usually there's a few laughs there. The father of the bride, the father of the groom, they usually have a few laughs, and so you'll get some interesting facial expressions there, both from the bridal party and the bride and groom as they are cringing, you know, as people are, you know, telling everybody about what's going on in their life. And also, of course, from the person making the speech. Try and be as creative as possible, but again, they're not works of art. They are perfunctory photographs, they're coverage photographs. Do what you can to make them interesting. Of course, that's your job. You can't be a snapshooter here. You've got to do something a little better than, you know, you've got to fill the frame and make it work, but you can't expect to have too much artwork going on here. Towards the, you know, as the meals are finishing, the dancing will begin. Now, the bridal waltz is an important event. The first dance of the couple is a very important event, and you should know when that's going to happen, if there's any particular style to it or any particular thing that's going to happen during it, whether there's going to be, you know, dry ice on the floor, whether any balloons are going to fall from the ceiling. All sorts of these kinds of things happen. And you should know whether that's going to be the case. But for the first, I'll let them dance for a little while, and then I'll move in just a little closely with the camera just to grab a few photographs. But I will set up something a little bit further back so that as they hit the floor, I'm ready to go. And again, I love to work with my off-camera flash here, and particularly if I can organize it so that the flash is directly opposite me. And what I often do is I wait for the bride and the groom to come between me and the flash, and then I'll fire two flash guns, one behind them and one in front, and you get this beautiful backlight rim lighting effect of the bride and the groom as they dance. And I usually like to just slightly underexpose so that it's almost silhouetted, and you have the bride and the groom on the dance floor silhouetted by this light behind them. It's very romantic and makes for a great bridal waltz photograph.
You got any shots like that that you've taken?
Absolutely. I'll send you a few so you've got a few to look at.
Beauty.
Sometimes I like to actually get low to the ground too, and from the floor level look up at them. So you've got often there's beautiful ceilings above the dance floors that you can incorporate in the photograph, or very interesting ceilings at least. So there's all sorts of ways that you can do this. But try and make that photograph special. Don't just sort of snap away. Once the bridal waltz is over and others start to join on the floor, I get in with a camera and a wide-angle lens, even as I did in the post-ceremony congratulations. And I get up close with my flash in my hand, you know, off in my left hand, outstretched, my camera in my right hand, and I just go around and I photograph them as they're dancing. And I actually tell them, look at me, come on, have some fun. And I'll get right in there, and often they'll just play up to the camera, and you get great dancing photographs, great celebration photographs. Then, of course, as the evening progresses, you probably have less and less to do because it will just be a repeat and people just become more inebriated as the evening goes on. Once you've got those things covered, then you've got them covered. There's no need to spend all evening doing the same kind of thing. You're probably starting to really run out of energy now anyway. The other thing that I avoid doing, and this is just a personal ethic, I don't have any alcohol. I'll tell you why I don't. If anything were to go wrong, and you've had one or two glasses of wine, and something were to go wrong with your photographs, you know what they're going to say, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going, oh, Larry was at our wedding drinking away, you know, and no wonder the photos haven't turned out. Now, that may not be the case at all. You may have only had one beer or one glass of wine or whatever, but something goes wrong. If six people have one beer, you've had six beers. You know?
Yes.
Because the word will spread. Oh, yeah, the photographer, he mucked up their photographs. You know, none of them, you know, something. Oh, very, very important photographs. Of course. Well, did you see him? Oh, yeah, I saw him have a beer. So did I. Oh, well, there's two beers. Might have been the same beer, but, you know. So I stick to water and orange juice and Coke and, you know, or whatever I'm going to be drinking. Maybe after all my photography is done, if I really feel like a beer and the bride and groom offer and insist, I'll have one, but I'll make sure that the vast majority of my photography is done. But I don't need to. I'm happy with an orange juice and a water and a Coke and whatever. But of course, you make sure you get fed because you'll be hungry. You'll be very, very hungry. The final thing to photograph is often the goodbyes. If you've stayed for the reception, stay for this, because here some of the most emotionally charged images you'll take are going to be up for the offering, and you can't be shy here. You have to be right there in the moment as the bride hugs the dad. See you later, Dad. I love you, Dad. Tears. He's crying. She's crying. You know, there's as mum and son, you know, father and daughter, they hug. You get these great photographs, and they're meaningful, and you don't feel like you're intruding. I mean, in a way you are, but that you're expected to be there. And when they see the photographs, you know, of these emotional moments, and they really do, you know, make the memory come back when they see them in the album, they're very, very important images. Again, you're just Johnny on the spot. You know, these aren't necessarily works of art, but you have to time them perfectly. And so you also have to know who's who. You've spent the day with a bridal party. You should know by now who the special friends are. Of course, you know who the parents of each of them are. You know who the siblings are. You know the people with whom they've had some special connection because you've been watching and paying attention all day. So as you know, when the bride comes around to this person, you know there's going to be a lunge with open arms and tears. Be ready for that shot. As the groom comes round to his mum or his sister or whomever, you know there's going to be a lunge of open arms and some tears. Get ready for that shot. And then, of course, you know, bang away as they interact. Don't be scared to use up, you know, take lots of photographs, because there'll be that one moment in there that you'll just capture. And people get in your way and arms get in your way and, you know, all that kind of thing. So you will need to take quite a few photographs just to get that one. As the bride and groom leave, follow them out and get a photograph with whatever car or vehicle they're leaving in. And then your work here is pretty well done. I've never had to do anything past this. Now, I have heard of photographers who followed the bride and groom at their request back to other locations for photography. Now, I don't know what bride and groom, after being up since 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, on their wedding day, would want to continue to have more photographs taken. But I'll never forget a photographer friend of mine who, at 2 o'clock in the morning after the ceremony, after the reception had finished, they wanted to go to another location to do night photographs.
Wow.
Now, yeah, I know, it's absolute madness. The couple were exhausted. The photographer was just exhausted. But that's what they wanted to do. If you're going to do that, just make sure you're covered yourself financially, because that is exhausting. And
I mean, hopefully you would have discussed that in advance of the wedding day. It's not something you'd spring on the photographer at the time.
Oh, it'd be a bit rough if you did, you know, but they sometimes do. And, you know, I know of course, other couples who've had the photographer come back to, you know, their room just for a photograph of the two of them in their bridal suite. You know, and then, of course, I've even seen some sort of distastefully simulated photographs and videos as well that you think, no, I wouldn't do that. Just, you know, I'm serious there. You know, I wouldn't do that, but that's up to you. But I think that by the time the bride and groom have left the reception, in the car, off they go, your work here is done. Pack up your gear and head on home. But, you know, discuss, of course, any particular needs that the couple have with you before they, you know, before the big day. And therein really is the key, knowing exactly what's going to happen, asking a lot of questions in the interview, and covering yourself as best possible for anything that they might ask of you. If you haven't told them that you don't stay for the reception and they're expecting you to stay, then suddenly you've got this, I don't normally stay for the reception. Oh, but, you know, you didn't tell us in the interview. Yes, but normally I charge more to stay for the reception. Oh, but we weren't expecting that because you didn't tell us. All these things happen. Mm. So you've got to make it very clear that this is what you do, this is how long you stay, or you're happy to stay as long as they want, whatever your package might include. I don't normally stay for the reception for two reasons. One, I'm really tired come the beginning of the reception. And two, once I've covered the basic photographs that I outlined at the beginning of this podcast, there really isn't a heck of a lot more that you need to cover that, you know, they won't have snapshots of or may not even want in their album. If you want to fake a cake, if you want to fake rather a bridal waltz photo, you can do that. You know, get them on the dance floor and set them up, as I said before, with some off-camera flash. You can actually set that up so you've got the photo for the album of them dancing on the dance floor, if indeed you don't intend to stay for the reception. If you do, then you get the real thing. Or, hey, like I said about the cake photo, do both. See which one turns out better. By the time the bridal waltz happens, like I say, she may have taken her veil off, he may have taken his tie off, la la la. And, you know, it may be just ready to party by that stage, and who'd blame them? But you know, make sure that you understand that you, no matter what the itinerary they've set or you've set for yourself and for them, that you're going to get the best coverage possible. And then away you go. You go home, get a good night's sleep. When I get home from a wedding, three things are mine: the couch, the remote control, and a glass of wine. That's it. I'm really tired because I've poured myself out all day, run around like an idiot, you know, taking photographs, thought, run, talk, up, all day. So by the time I get home, I'm really done for. Mm. And there's another reason I don't stay for the reception, because I'm really tired. I just want to go home. You know? But, you know, if you are a team, then you can actually pay another photographer. You can pay one of your team to stay for the reception if you want to, but that all has to be part of the budget, of course, and you can discuss all those kinds of things with whomever it is you've got to discuss it with, but that's just another option. And that's basically it. There's your wedding day in a nutshell.
Six nutshells.
or six nutshells. And that's basically it. Now, as a result of that, you should have several hundred photographs, and you'll pick out a couple of hundred you might really, really like. But how you work that out, of course, is all up to you, and what you do from that point on is entirely up to you. But you should have it covered. You should have it well and truly covered. For the sake of business, make sure that you are getting your name out there while you're on the wedding. You know, to other couples who may be, often people in the bridal party are engaged.
Yeah.
And they'll be watching you. If they haven't booked their photographer, they'll be watching you. Other people at the wedding who are guests, they're engaged or, going out together, looking at marriage, they'll be watching you. So it's a great way to continue to network. And there is no better way to market yourself in terms of wedding photography, particularly where a real high level of trust and reliability is needed. There's no better way to market yourself than word of mouth. You can send out as many, packages, or information about yourself to leads that you get. But if you get a word of mouth, it basically is saying, hey, we saw you at this wedding, or we heard about you. Your photos are wonderful. We heard you were really fun on the day. And, we want you, basically, for the wedding.
I would add to that, have some business cards on you as you're shooting the wedding. Mm-hmm. Because people will come up and ask you, do you shoot weddings often? It may not be obvious to them that you do it all the time, or it, like me with Dan and Kate, it may not be obvious that you don't do it all the time.
Right.
So it is a good idea to have some business cards. And even if you're not the sort of person who does it on a regular basis and you don't normally have business cards that say you're a photographer, just go down to your local Kinko's or, Quick Copy and get some cheap cards made up. I mean, you can get them pretty cheap.
Yep.
Just so you've got something with your name, the fact that you're a photographer, and at the very least a mobile number and or an email address, just something that you can give out when people walk up to you on the wedding day, and ask.
Absolutely. I actually have taken a couple of, I use a DVD slideshow as my business card.
Nice.
And I'll take them with me and have them in the car. Yeah, sure I do. Here's my DVD. Take that home and watch it.
Wow.
And that works. I mean, it costs a dollar or something to produce a DVD, so it's no big deal.
Exactly.
And it's one hell of a business card. You know? So that's not a bad idea. What a friend of mine does, actually, he has a shirt, and it's got his business name embroidered on the pocket, and that's his wedding photography shirt.
Yep.
Nice shirt. And he wears it with a pair of slacks and shoes, and that's so that he's got, his name, da-da-da-da-da, photography, emblazoned there.
Pretty much wearing his business card all day.
Yeah. And I don't know whether I've mentioned that, but I don't know if he mentioned this in one of the first podcasts, but I have seen photographers dress for weddings in ways that I've considered absolutely abominable.
Really?
I just don't understand it. And maybe it's an Australian thing. I don't know whether it happens in other countries like Canada or the United States or Great Britain or whatever, but I have seen photographers turn up for weddings here that I've been a guest at and not photographed, and turn up in flannelette shirts and jeans with runners, t-shirts, jeans. Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Oh man!
To me, that you could have such a lack of respect.
Yeah.
For the bride and groom. And they say, I'm working, or I'm an artist, or whatever. I don't give a damn what you think you are. This is a wedding.
It comes back to professionalism, though.
You bet it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely it does. And what are you, I a hot day the other day, I went, I had shirt, tie, trousers, shoes. As I got a little hot later on after the ceremony and I was running around, I took my tie off and I put it in my gadget bag, but I still had a nice shirt and nice trousers on, and I was hot. I would have loved to have gotten to a t-shirt, but no way known.
No.
This is a wedding. I'm a professional and it's a wedding. I'm not doing some fashion shoot in the desert here. I'm on a wedding, and everybody else is dressed up nice. I have to present myself as a professional. But do not, please, just do not go and photograph a wedding and say, well, look, I'm working, I'm not a guest, why do I need to dress up? You do need to dress up because you represent the photographic community. You represent a high form of art. You are at a wedding. And that's what people do, and you're a professional. I just don't understand the reasoning of photographers who think otherwise.
Yeah.
There is no respect in that. And I've spoken to photographers, you know, gone up to them and said, mate, what are you thinking? Bit of decorum. This is a wedding.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not afraid, because I just think that is such a poor representation of the photographic industry that I'm not afraid to speak my mind and just go, you know, come on, buddy, for Pete's sake. You couldn't have worn a shirt and a pair of slacks.
Yeah.
You know? So, look, you are... That's all I'm going to say on that subject, but, you know, be a professional. I know in the United States, I've seen photographers turn up in tuxedos, you know, with bow ties and tuxes and, like, looking like a real top-notch guest. And I thought, yeah, fantastic. Good on you. You know, they've got the suit and the tie and the whole bit.
Only problem then is you get to the reception and people are coming up to you asking for drinks.
Well, that's when you say, I am the photographer. Excuse me. You haven't seen me running around like an idiot. What do you think this thing in my hand is? It's not exactly a tray of drinks, fool. But, yeah, look, and I think that's very professional. I wouldn't go that far, but I have worn a suit, you know, on cold days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I have worn, and I always go in shirt, tie, trousers, you know, to a wedding. I know I've turned up looking better than some of the guests at some weddings, but that's, I don't care. I don't care. That's I've got to be there and I've got to look the part. Mm. And I want to be remembered as a professional, you know. Yep. I want to be remembered as someone who paid respect to the event. And there's a lot of that in your job. Pay respect to every part of the event, particularly the ceremony. You know, don't be disrespectful. You know, as people are interacting, don't interrupt rudely. Just be respectful the whole day. It is a wedding. You've got a job to do. You've got to be Mr. Fun. You've got to be Mr. Johnny on the spot. But you've got to be respectful at the same time. And that depends on your culture too, but, you know, and where you draw those lines. But be discreet about all that you do and be professional about all that you do, because you've been asked to do something that honors you. Every time I'm asked to photograph a wedding, they're paying me and all the rest of it, but you are entrusted with something very special, and it's an honor to be asked to photograph a wedding. They're basically saying, you're the guy we want to make sure to cover the one-in-a-lifetime event we're going to have. That's an honor. That's a real honor. And act accordingly when you turn up, and act accordingly beforehand, and act accordingly afterwards. Don't ever look at it as anything other than an honor. Yes, it might be an honor to have you because you're so good, but, you know, at the same time, you're not the best in the world, and even if you were the best in the world, so what? It's still an honor to be asked to cover their most important day of their life.
Yep.
Always treat it that way. Shelton, out.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. That's been a great series of podcasts, if I do say so myself. I think it's been very thorough. And,
great.
A lot to think about if you are planning on doing a wedding anytime soon.
Oh, before we go, Bruce, remember I said that before we ended this podcast, I would interesting I did last night? I had a good friend of ours, I've known her for a very long time, has three beautiful daughters,
right.
Jessica, Renee, and Fiona. And they're all, you know, married, and they, you know, live interstate and la, 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 la. Well, last night, they were all together in the one place for one reason. They were all down on the beach near where I live so that I can take a picture of them.
Oh, okay.
And it was, look, lovely. I've known these girls since they were very, very little girls. And now they're all young women in their early 30s, you know, mothers and wives, etc. But three beautiful girls. And the problem was we wanted to do something with some lovely light. Now, I said, let's meet on the beach at somewhere about 6:30. But I got there and me and me mate Dogface, who's I think we had talked about Dogface
before.
Well, Jessica is Dogface's wife, and she's one of these three sisters. And anyway, me and me mate Dogface, who's a bit of an avid photographer himself,
right?
We just looked at the light and we said, no, it's still too hard. Give us another half hour. So we got some fish and chips and we ate some fish and chips on the beach and just waited for the light to soften. And it did. It got beautiful.
Right.
The problem was, though, I set them all up and got them together and we did a shoot. But the light, when it got sweet and soft enough to use,
faded too quick.
Exactly, because we're at that time of year. Just once it gets nice, that's it. And, you know, so I had this shoot done, and I, it takes a little while for people to warm up to having their photo taken. Mm-hmm. I've worked with Jessica a lot, so she just gets straight into the zone, and she just knows exactly what to do. But her two sisters, not quite as comfortable or not quite as camera ready, you might say, as Jessica. So they took a little more time to warm up. By the time they were really comfortable, the sun had set.
Right.
And so I got my, as Graham Anderson so lovingly calls it, I got my sunshine kit out.
Yep.
Which is my Nikon flash, a piece of orange cellophane, and an elastic band. And I got Dogface off to my right. And he was standing there holding the flash. And I'll upload a couple of photographs to you to show what happens when the sun set, but you still want to take some sunset photographs.
Sure.
Once again, the off-camera flash with a bit of orange cellophane. Camera on a tripod, about 1/15th of a second at 1.8, so you can tell we were really low on light.
Mm.
But the flash just did a beautiful job of recreating a warm setting sun.
So question, and did you have the flash firing from the same direction as the setting sun?
A little bit. No, I made it work, you know, whatever direction I wanted.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
You know, and Richard and I sort of worked on the best angle, and you know, he'd take a step back to broaden it a little bit, and then come a little bit closer, a little bit further away, and then we finally got it right. I got them looking at me and then looking into the flash so you could use the light to sort of create, you know, form and shape, etc. It was just fantastic. I was really, really pleased that even after the sun had set, using off-camera flash, we were still able to create a similar kind of effect. It really is quite lovely. So excellent. I'll upload a couple of photographs of these three girls so that you can have a bit of a look at what to do when the sun's gone and you still need it. It was just fantastic. My friend Dogface, Richard, who's never done that before, he was just amazed, just blown away. Oh, that's awesome, mate. That's awesome. I'm going to do that. So, you know, it was a really great experience. So I'll send some photographs of that little session as well. So you can have a look at what can be done when the sun's set and you still need some more.
Absolutely. All right. Again, this will be the last ep of Shutters Inc. for about 7 weeks. So
sorry about that, gang. It's all him. It's not me.
That's it. It's all my fault.
All your fault.
So I think I mentioned last week that I was going, didn't I, to the States?
Yes, you did.
Yes, yep. Right. So if anyone's out in the Vegas area and wants to hook up for a coffee or anything like that, please drop me an email or catch up with me on Facebook. I'd love to hook up with some listeners while I'm over there if I get the opportunity.
You are taking your camera, aren't you, Bruce?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You did some awesome stuff last time you were there, mate.
Well, thank you.
I know you won't have the same opportunity this time, but I know you'll get some great stuff. So, hey, yeah, go out shooting with Bruce, guys, okay? Go out shooting with him, you
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
He'd love to have some fun with you. And you're on your own out there too, aren't
That's
you?
That's it. I will be this trip, yep.
So he'll need some friends to console him.
All right, mate. Will you enjoy your 7-week break?
Yeah, I'll have to come up with something really good for the next episode.
I would imagine we're going to have 100 emails to answer when we get back.
Yeah, the first podcast will just be email after email after email. And don't forget 5minutephotographer.com. If you go there, you know, as straight away after hearing this podcast, you may find it's not completed yet. But somewhere in the next week or two, it will be, and it will be up and running. And if you are interested, you know, by all means, join up and have a look. We do intend to make it one of the best tutorial websites on the net, one that helps you take pictures in 5 minutes you never thought possible. So
beautiful.
If it's not quite finished when you go there, I'm only saying it now because in 7 weeks, of course, it'll be too late. It'll be well and truly up and running. But bear with us. We'll have it up and running very, very soon.
Fantastic. All right, mate. Will you take care and I'll talk to you in a couple of months.
Yeah, you too, mate. You have an awesome time, and I do expect to hear from you every step of the way.
Absolutely. All right, mate. Catch you later.
You bet. See ya.
Bye.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.